Looking at our world from a theological perspective. This is the Theology Central Podcast, making theology central.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Tuesday, March the 26th, 2024. It is currently 4:51 p.m. Central Time, and I am coming to you live from the Theology Central studio, located right here in Abilene, Texas. How many Bibles do you own? How many? 3, 4, 5, 6? How many Bibles do you own? I'm about to lose my voice, okay? But I'm going to use my voice, and we're going to talk about Bibles. So I don't know about you, just right here next to me, right here at this table with the microphone and the computer, I have right here next to me this Bible, right? It's a King James Bible, a black cover. It's artificial leather. I really like it. It's nice. There's no notes. It's not a study Bible. There's nothing in it other than the text. That is it. That's the only thing that's in it is the text. And I love these. Then I have here a brown goat skin leather. This is brown goat skin leather. It is the Christian Standard Bible. And this thing is really, really nice. Sometimes I like the translation, sometimes I don't, but I always like to have a different translation just to compare or contrast. Has no notes in it, has nothing like that, just basically the text. You'll notice almost all my Bibles have nothing in it but the text. All right, then underneath that, I have, I love this Bible. I love this one. This is from Hallman. It's a KJV, and it's got like, I don't even know what this is, what the cover is made out of. Here, let me see. I don't even know. But I don't know what this is made out of, but I don't know. I don't know what it's made out of. But it's got this like black portion to it, and then it's got this brown part. It's like black and brown. I just love it. I love the way it feels. I love the binding of it. I love everything about this Bible. I use this frequently. Once again, no notes, no anything. And you'll notice in all of these Bibles, there's no names of any individuals. They're just the text of Scripture. They're simple. They're straightforward. There's no notes. There's no study helps in it. It's just the text of Scripture. And I love that. And I cannot speak for you, but for me, I absolutely love Bibles. I absolutely love Bibles. I believe every Christian, this is my own personal belief, is that at the beginning of every year, at the end of a year, at the beginning of a year, every Christian should buy a brand new Bible, a brand new notebook, and some pencils. And that, because I just think when you get that new Bible, you have a tendency, because you just purchased it, to use it, and it may get you just a little boost to get you started into maybe somewhat of a consistent daily reading habit, opening it, looking at it, you know, taking some notes, and it just may help, you know, kind of just maybe either get you started or kind of, you know, help kind of recharge your Bible study for that year. And I just love having a new Bible. So I love Bibles. I absolutely love them. But I also know that with Bibles comes a very important question. And I want you to think about this question. What are some things we should not do with our Bibles? What are some things that should not be done? In fact, we can go so far. What are some things that are actually sinful when it comes to the Bible? Well, I think most Christians would acknowledge that we are not to add or take away from the Word of God. It is God's revelation. It is complete. We are not to add. We are not to subtract. I think most Christians would say we should not add or take away from God's Word. To do so would be wrong. And you could look at the scriptures that mention this. We know we have that in Revelation. Now we have something similar in the Old Testament. Now some will say that those restrictions only refer to the book of Revelation or maybe a particular Old Testament book. Some will say it covers all of God's revelation. You could have that discussion. But most Christians seem to agree we should not add or take away. We should not utilize scripture right? And use it in a way to simply justify ourselves. In other words, we should not take God's word and twist it and manipulate it so that we can justify our own sin, justify our own wrong, so that we somehow bring God into justifying us. No, it is God's word. It's not for us to manipulate and twist so that we may justify ourselves. I think another thing we should not do is we should not take God's word and then twist it, manipulate it to so that we can attack and hurt other people. I think that's a smart thing. We should not twist the word of God and misinterpret it. I want you to just think of all the things we should not do to God's word. What are some things we should not do? Now, here is something that you may disagree with me, but just stay with me. In the 1990s, right? So when I became a Christian, I became a Christian in a Southern Baptist church. And the use of numerous translations was not controversial, wasn't an issue. I became a Lutheran, was going to become a Lutheran pastor. The use of many different translations was not controversial, not an issue. And then I find myself in Germany in the 1990s. And I walk into an independent fundamental Baptist church in Germany. And I am immediately told, why are you carrying that kind of Bible? You need a King James. And then I was starting to be exposed to, and then when I went back, I ended up leaving Germany. I ended up in Nebraska. And then I found myself in an independent fundamental Baptist church where I was told the King James is the only translation for the English language. All the other translations are perversions. You cannot, there should be no new translation. So I was told no new translations, only the King James. And I remember that debate, a lot of debate about that. Well, about that same time, in fact, it was already happening going back into church history, but I feel like in some ways it was becoming more prominent. Maybe I was just starting to notice it more. I don't have dates in front of me or a timeline, so please forgive me if I don't have this in perfect order. But in my mind, in the 1990s, I started noticing more and more that Bibles were coming out. And when you picked up the Bible, the first thing you saw was not so much Holy Bible, nor the translation. What you saw first was someone's name. Someone's name. You put their name there, whoever it was. The MacArthur Study Bible. Now people's names started, and so now we're going to sell the Bible. And the way we're going to sell the Bible is by putting someone's name on it and putting their notes in it, their study guides. Now we can go all the way back to the Scofield Study Bible. We've talked about this when we did our little study on dispensationalism. But I just felt by the time, and maybe it was prominent in the 80s, I don't remember seeing one in the 80s. I mean, obviously Scofield was around, obviously, but it just felt like most Bibles did not have someone's name on it, right? Now, they had different editions like the Daily Walk Bible. So the Bible was broken down into daily readings, or the Chronological Bible. They had some of those, but as far as people's names, and then the next thing you know, I turned around and it just felt like everyone had a Bible. It felt like, and I don't know all the names that were associated with them, but it just felt like everyone did. It felt like Dr. David Jeremiah may have had one. I don't know for sure. Charles Stanley, Chuck Swindoll. I know MacArthur had one because that became very famous. Everyone started having a Bible, it felt like. Now, I can't 100% verify that, but I just felt like to me, this was the bigger issue. Like, oh, everyone over here is yelling and screaming about translations, but I started having some struggles with, wait a minute. So it's the Word of God, and what we're going to do is stamp on the Bible someone's name, and the selling point isn't the words of God. The selling point isn't the scripture. The selling point is that has MacArthur's notes. That has so-and-so's notes. Whoa, I gotta get that. Now, some people say, well, I don't see a problem. Well, to me, I see a problem because you're adding it to the word of God. You're adding it. And I think that study notes, I think that commentary should never be put with the Bible, inside the Bible. It should always be outside of it. It should be external to it. Like, here's MacArthur's study notes for the Word of God, right? And so MacArthur study notes, whatever you want to refer to them as, MacArthur's, you know, Bible commentary, whatever you want to refer to it as. And then guess what? You take that and you have it with your Bible. And the reason why is this, the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. You should not want the words of men put with it or near it, because people have a tendency, and when they're looking at the text, to just immediately let their eyes travel down to the bottom, look at the note and read the note, almost as, even though they would tell you it's not inspired, it almost takes on this very subtle way of becoming the meaning of the text. I think all the Bibles you should own should not have anything in it other than Scripture. Now, if you're going to have a study Bible, I think it should be never used for your reading. Never, 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 never. It should not even be used when you go to church. It should be set aside. You should focus on the text. And then when you need a reference tool, you go grab your study Bible. Then you look at the notes. And I've been talking about this for well over 20 years, trying to get people to understand this. But anytime I criticize these study Bibles, usually I'm just viewed as whatever. But I'm just like, it doesn't bother you that the Word of God is being turned into a marketing scheme for someone's notes? Like, I'm not a big fan of that. So just so that you know, I've always had some struggles and issues with what people do to the Word of God. Always. I've always had certain issues with it. You know, how much they're sold for, right? I was going to do a podcast about it. I need to find it. There was some site selling Bibles, and I think there was a Bible. I don't know what kind of cover it had on it. I don't know if it was genuine leather. I don't know what it was. It was like $400 or $500. And I'm like, $500 for the Word of God? I don't know. Like, and a lot of people love that. I've seen podcasters who do video podcasts. Look at my Bible. You know, this was like $400. It's amazing. Everybody's like, ooh, that's amazing. Should the Word of God cost $400? But then how much money should it ever cost? We get into all kinds of discussions about it. So I think that there are some specific things that we should not do with Scripture. And I think there's a lot of things that kind of fall into that category of personal conviction and opinion. But I feel strongly about the whole putting man's name on it. I really have a problem with that. Now, I say all of that because at 1:43 p.m. today, 1:43 p.m. Central Time, or as I like to say, correct time, 1:43 p.m., there's a photograph. Someone holding up a Bible. Someone holding up a Bible. That person holding the Bible is none other than Donald Trump. Former President Donald Trump. He's not the president now. He lost the election. Okay, all right. Donald Trump holding up a Bible. And I'm like, oh boy, what are we getting ready to hear here? And then the headline reads, this is from the Associated Press. Trump is selling God Bless the USA Bibles for $59.99 as he faces mounting legal bills. So if Donald Trump is selling Bibles, and if the funds for that Bible goes to help him with his legal bills, is that something we should be doing with the Word of God? That someone who has 91 indictments should be selling Bibles in order to raise money to pay for his legal woes? Is that something that should be done with the Word of God? Hey, this person over there, he was, he's been indicted for, you know, 3 crimes. But hey, he's selling Bibles. Let's all go buy a Bible from him so that we can get some money from his legal. Well, he's a piece of trash. Yeah. well, what about Donald Trump? Well, no, he's Donald Trump. He may have 91 indictments, but it's all fraud and everyone's just out to get him and he's innocent and he's basically Jesus. Okay, we won't even get into some of the things that's been said on Truth Social in the last couple of days, but we'll just forget that. Come on. Is that a right thing or wrong thing? Donald Trump selling Bibles for $59.99 as legal as he faces mounting legal bills. Now the issue is, if he's using the money for that, what do you think? Acceptable or unacceptable? What do you think? Well, let's read the article and find out what's going on. Former President Donald Trump is now selling Bibles as he runs to return to the White House. Trump, who became the presumptive Republican nominee earlier this month, released a video on his Truth Social platform on Tuesday, urging his supporters to buy the God Bless the USA Bible, which is inspired by the country singer Lee Greenwood's patriotic ballad, God Bless the USA, right? Or God Bless America, whatever it's called, okay? Oh, Lee Greenwood. Okay, don't, that song. Hey, was it Proud to Be an American? Whatever, all the, oh boy. Okay, I won't even try. We want to get into a musical discussion here. All right. Trump takes the stage to the song at each of his rallies, and he has appeared with Greenwood at events. So he released a video trying to get his supporters to buy the God Bless the USA Bible. You got to get the God Bless the USA Bible. Now, I haven't watched the video. I should look on Truth Social and look for it. I don't know if I want to see it because I think I may, you know, open up this window behind me and jump out and just do a head first dive and just end it all and just be, I know it's only two floors up, so I don't know if it would do enough damage. But maybe I could just hit the ground at the right angle and be done with all of that. Come on. I'm really? All right. But I digress. Let's just wait. Happy Holy Week. Let's make America pray again. As we lead into Good Friday and Easter, I encourage you to get a copy of the God Bless the USA Bible, Trump wrote, directing his supporters to a website selling the book for $59.99. So we're going to use Holy Week. We're going to kind of play off, let's make America great again. So let's make America pray again. Okay. And hey, and it's almost Good Friday. So get this Bible for $59.99. So that already just feels like, just disgusting. All right. Then it's Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA. Oh, okay. We got that going on. Oh, the whole thing. And then we have Trump himself. The whole thing just seems like, no, it just seems wrong. But it gets worse, ladies and gentlemen. If that's not all bad enough, here we go. The effort comes as Trump has faced serious money crunch and mounting legal bills while he fights four criminal indictments along with a series of civil charges. Trump was giving a reprieve Monday when a New York appeals court agreed to hold off on collecting the more than $454 million he owes following a civil fraud judgment if he puts up $175 million within 10 days. Trump has already posted $92 million bond in connection with defamation case brought by writer E. Jean Carroll, who accused Trump of sexual assault. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book, Trump said in the video posted on Truth Social. Now, you can probably find the video where he talks about the Bible being his favorite book, and then he's asked some basic questions, and, well, for it being his favorite book. All right, but I digress. The whole thing just seems so, everything about this seems wrong. But he goes on, I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again. Billing itself as the only Bible endorsed by President Trump. Now, do you want a Bible endorsed by President Trump? Do you want a Bible endorsed by him? Does it make the Bible better? I've got a Bible right here. My Bible, sadly, was not endorsed by President Trump. But if it's endorsed by President Trump, does it become more spiritual? Does it become more godly? Does God's word need an endorsement from anyone? And do we need to go through everything that Trump has said and done? I don't think the Word of God needs an endorsement from any sinful man, including me. Now, he goes on to say, but billing itself as the only Bible endorsed by President Trump, the New Ventures website calls it easy to read with large print and slim design that invites you to explore God's word anywhere, anytime. And I do realize there's plenty of Bibles that are in large print that have a slim design, and you can take them anywhere you go. All right. But now, this is where I really have a problem. This is where I'm not, I don't like the way this is all being marketed. I don't like it all using Holy Week and the whole thing. Trump involved with it. It's political. It's fleshly. It's carnal. Everything about it, I just do not like. But I think I may loathe the next part. Here we go. Besides a King James Version translation, it includes the copies of the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance, as well as a handwritten course of the famous Greenwood Song. Should those documents be placed inside a Bible? I will argue emphatically no. Now, I believe Bibles should not have anything included in them other than the Word of God. And I think all study tools and help should be outside the Word of God, because we do not want to confuse anything with the Word of God. We want the Word of God, in its sense, unadulterated, untouched, uncorrupted. We want it pure, just the scriptures. But see, once you start making a little bit of compromise, well, you can have MacArthur's notes, you can have Charles Stanley's notes, you can have David Jeremiah's notes, you can have Chuck Smith, you could have, you know, R.C. Sproul, whomever. Once you start placing things in the Bible, articles from these people, and you've got the prophecy Bibles that have articles from supposedly prophecy experts. When you start doing all of that, you add, well, then how far are you being removed from, hey, now we need a Bible that's very American. We're going to put these documents in the Bible, these very important documents for the United States of America. I guess if it's a communist country, you could put the Communist Manifesto in it. No, it's the Word of God. Leave it alone. Keep your documents away from it. So again, here's what's inside of it. Here's what's inside of it. Are you ready? The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance, and the handwritten course of the famous Greenwood Song. Now, the Bible is just the latest commercial venture that Trump has pursued while campaigning. Last month, he debuted new lines of Trump-branded sneakers, including $399 gold Never Surrender high tops at SneakerCon in Philadelphia. The venture behind the shoes, 45 Footwear, also sells other Trump-branded footwear, cologne, and perfume. Let's get that merch ready. Let's sell that merchandise. And oh, let's sell some Bibles too, I guess. All right. Trump also dabbled in NFTs, non-fungible tokens, and last year reported earning between $100,000 and $1 million from a series of digital trading cards that portrayed him in cartoon-like images, including as an astronaut, a cowboy, and a superhero. He's also released books featuring photos of his time in office and letters written to him through the years. The Bible website states the product is not political, no, and has nothing to do with any political campaign. GodBlessTheUSABible.com is not owned, managed, or controlled by Donald J. Trump, the Trump Organization, CIC Ventures, LLC, or any other respective principals or affiliates, it says. Instead, it says God Bless USA. GodBlessTheUSABible.com uses Donald J. Trump's name, likeness, and image under paid license from the CIC Ventures LLC, which license and may be terminated or revoked according to its terms. CIC Ventures LLC, a company that Trump reported owning in his 2023 financial disclosures, has similar agreements with 45 Footwear. And so basically, hey, we're going to give you our name and image. You can use that, I guess, to help, you know, sell the Bible. A Trump spokesman and God Bless the USA Bible did not immediately respond to questions about how much Trump was paid for the licensing deal or stands to make from each book sale. So we don't have those financials. Trump remains deeply popular with white evangelical Christians who are among his most ardent supporters, even though the thrice-married former reality star has a long history of behavior that seems at odds with teaching espoused by Christ and the Gospels. While he was running in 2016, Trump raised eyebrows when he cited 2 Corinthians at Liberty University instead of the standard 2 Corinthians. When asked to share his favorite Bible verse in an interview with Bloomberg in 2015, he demurred, I wouldn't want to get into it because to me, that's very personal. He said, the Bible means a lot to me. I don't want to get into it, get into specifics. Hey, it's my favorite book and I'm going to refer to it as 2 Corinthians instead of 2 Corinthians. And it's too personal for me to give you a favorite verse or a favorite book or a favorite anything. Okay. Oh boy. All right. And then, well, then they go on and add a little more. Before he ran for office, Trump famously hawked everything from frozen steaks to vodka to a venture named Trump University, which was later sued for fraud. Now, what do you think? See, is this an acceptable use of the Word of God to be turned into a marketing scheme so that Trump can possibly raise some money? Is it acceptable to take the Bible, call it God Bless the USA Bible, and then place all of these documents from the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, and the chorus of a song inside the Bible? Is that acceptable? Is that perfectly okay? Now, I believe that the whole thing is wrong. I am completely opposed to it. But to be fair, I'm separating the. This is just to make sure you understand. This is not even really about Trump, because my issues with what people do to the Bible go way beyond Trump. They go all the way to the MacArthur Study Bible, to all these other study Bibles. So I've already got kind of a track record of calling some of these things out. So now, yes, do I support Trump? Absolutely not. Okay, well, did I vote for Trump? No. Will I vote for Trump? No. I don't. And I hate politics, period. I'm not voting for anyone. Okay. I don't vote. I can't stand the entire system. It's corrupt. It's ridiculous. And the church prostitutes itself for political power and position. Okay. So don't even get me started there. I'm a Christian. I look at things from a theological perspective. I am not going to get entangled into the messy politics of this world that can't fix or solve anything. And it's partisan and everyone. And it's just the whole thing is pathetic. So yes. So I don't care if this was Biden. I don't care if this was Trump. I don't care if it's a Republican, a Democrat, anything doing this with the Word of God. I think it is a problem. I think it's wrong. Now, the question is, though, the bigger question here is, don't get caught up on this about Trump. Don't get caught up on this about being about Trump or anything like that. Focus on this. What can or what can you not do with the Word of God? That's what I want you to think about. I want you to take a piece of paper and I want you to just write out, what can we not do with the Word of God? And if you find scriptural support for those things, write them down. What can we do with the Word of God? I know we can read it. I know we can memorize it. I know we can meditate on it. I know we can share it. I know we can preach from it. I know we can learn from it. I know we're so called to obey it. All right. I know that there's things that we can. What can we do and what can't we do? Try to come up with a biblical answer for that question and then just ask yourself, is this a bridge too far? Hey, I've got legal woes. Hey, but I'll work out a deal with this company so they can use my likeness. Now, we don't know how much money he may make per book. We don't know, but he's getting paid. And then he does a little video. Hey, my favorite book. We got to make America pray again. Hey, it's almost Holy Week. It's the Holy Week. It's almost Good Friday. We need the Bible. You need this Bible, the God Bless USA Bible, because, well, it has the Constitution in it. It has the Declaration of Independence. It's got all of these documents, the Bill of Rights. It's got all of these documents in it. I've got reservations, would be a nice way of saying. I got questions. I got doubts. I got concerns. I got,
I got problems. Now, I don't know if you have one in your city or town. If you do, get in your car and drive to the local Christian bookstore, if you still have one, and just go to the Bible section and just take a look at it. If you don't want to do that, get on Amazon, just start looking up Bibles. And if you have Truth Social, try to find this video about the God Bless USA Bible, and you can tell me what you think. All right. Thank you for listening. You can email me, newsif@yahoo.com. Newsif@yahoo.com. That's newsif@yahoo.com. Newsif@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening. Everyone have a great day. God bless.